Hello, and welcome to my grove of silence. Here, beneath my branches and needles, if you stay long enough, you will hear the breath of the world. If the wind is awake, you'll hear him shifting through my needles, swirling in my branches, scuffing my scaly bark. But if the wind sleeps, don't hurry away. Stop and wait. Hold your breath. Maybe you will hear your heartbeat in my stillness. That crackle of a twig could be a currawong in my canopy, or a creature on the forest floor. And don't forget to look up. Yes, up there, through my arms. The view up there today could be peaceful or wild. So sit with me a while and listen. Read the messages in the sky, the stories in the clouds, the memories in my shadows. I've come a long way to be here with you. And yet I hear you thinking that I'm just a tree, and what would I know? But I have much to tell. I've been here since before you were born, and I'll remain long after you die. There's something poetic in that, don't you think? I was born from a tiny seed shed from a slender cone back in Alaska. They carried me in a ship across oceans from the Pacific Northwest, planted me here in 1931, and I've been here ever since, growing patiently, waiting until this day to meet you. You think I'm old, and yes, I am. I feel old, and I sound old, but in truth, I am only just beginning. Back in my homeland, the misty coastal forests of eastern Canada and northeastern US, I grow to 100 metres tall and live up to 700 years. At my largest, it would take 8 to 10 people with their hands linked to reach around my girth like a belt. Back in my country, rain buckets onto my boughs, water swept up by the wind from the cold sea. And I'm happy when it rains. Give me more storms and downpours and mist. When I'm wet, I lace my branches with mosses and lichens. I reach into the fog. I feel water trickle down my trunk and seep into the soil around my roots. I drink and grow. I race to reach the sky and thrust my arms up into the wind. I've lived in my homeland since long before the arrival of white men in Northern America. I've lived alongside the native peoples of that land for thousands of years. I've protected them from evil thoughts, and they've eaten the soft parts of my bark. The vitamin C in my shoots keeps illness away. You can brew beer from my tips to prevent scurvy. You haven't heard of that? Captain Cook did it to keep his crew healthy while he was sailing around the Pacific Ocean, discovering things, like whole countries, for instance, and claiming them as if no one ever lived there before. And did you know that my sap can be used to treat skin irritations? You can chew my sap too, instead of gum. But maybe not today. I need all my sugar-rich resin to grow tall. Since white men came, though, my life has been much more difficult. I spring up fast in poor soils, so they grow me in plantations all around the world. And when I am tall, they chop me down with mechanized saws that bite into my skin. I'm flattened just like that. Decades, centuries of living, cut down in seconds. They say I'm useful, you see. My light, strong wood is good for making ladders and boats, doors and windows, boards and boxes, guitars and pianos. They grind me up to make paper, burn me for heat. And speaking of heat, humans like you have consumed so much of everything, it's made the world hotter. And that's not good for trees, especially old trees like me. There's a beetle, you see, that likes to crawl under my skin. And it loves the oldest and largest of trees so that it can ring bark and kill me. It's happening all over the world. And do you know what humans are doing to stop the beetle? I would like to say that you are shifting to renewable energy and limiting your population growth and stopping the use of carbon-rich resources like gas and oil. But no, the preferred treatment for the bark beetle is to cut down over-mature trees. Ha! Huh, how do you like that? Apparently the only good tree is a young one, which is useful to humans. Well, here's what I have to say about that. What if we took out all the over-mature humans, like your grandparents, for instance? Would the world be a better place? The problem is that you don't understand how the world works. Oh yes, you know about money and knocking down trees and scraping away habitat to make more buildings and concrete and houses. But do you know what old trees do? We create oxygen for you humans to inhale. We store carbon so your world, our world, won't heat up. We make seeds to grow more trees. We communicate with each other through our roots. We watch and listen. And we know. So, have a think about this. Among my tree friends, there's a theory that the world was a better place before humans, for trees anyway, and for the creatures that scuttle or land in my limbs. But I'm stuck on that term over-mature, and maybe I'll be grumbling about it for another few hundred years. By then, if your bushfires don't burn me, I'll be the one laughing, because trees will be quietly in control again, and your race will have crumbled to a layer of plastic and concrete in the stratigraphy. Strong words, yes, words to take away and think about. But for now, be at peace and sit with me. Think about what the world might be. Look up through my arms into the sky and think about how to make the world a better place, with more, not less trees.